Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host. My name is Vinny. And joining me for episode 157, it's Kevin Farley. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, drink responsibly and always be kind. Also, freshly brewed comedy every Sunday night at Boulder Cafe and Lounge, 100 South Ave. Comedians sign up at 6:30 p.m. Show starts at 7. Let's not forget this year's Funniest Person Rochester contest. If you think you're funny and you want to win $1,000, here's your chance. For more information, visit carlsoncontest.com. Good morning, everybody. My guest today is not only a Second City alum, he is an actor, stand-up comedian, and he's returning as your headliner here this weekend at Comedy at the Carlson. It's Kevin Farley.
Hey, the crowd goes wild.
We are absolutely thrilled to have you back because I never thought you would do the show again.
Why?
I love that you don't remember. So I have PTSD to this day from your last appearance, Kevin.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, because I had a different...
How many years ago was that? Because my brain is so...
I want to say it was 2018.
Oh, so a while ago. Yeah,
it was a while ago. It was pre-vid. Pre-vid.
That was pre-vid, yeah.
Yeah,
so
pre-vid.
That's the last time I did this.
Yeah.
This club.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So either way, the sound guy, we did the show, the guy who was running the board out there.
Right.
Different guy. Never turned your mic off mute.
Oh, shit.
So we talked for like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like we had this great conversation because you're a great guy.
Yeah.
And then after I go to listen to it, there was no audio. It's just my voice. And then
wait, I think I remember this.
Yeah, and there was no audio. It was just like me.
So the whole thing was just not usable.
It was just not usable. And I was horribly embarrassed.
I do remember this now.
Yeah, I felt terrible. I felt so bad.
Yeah, and so you couldn't even use any of it, right?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Except for maybe the intro. Hey,
yeah.
Everybody, Kevin Farley's going to be here this weekend. Get your tickets now.
I think I remember this.
I felt so bad, Kevin. I still do. So
who was the sound guy then?
Oh, he's dead to me.
Yeah, was that like a really bad thing between you two guys?
It was not a good day to be around here.
So you're in charge of this whole operation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that guy was working for you.
He was working for me.
And you were furious.
I was very upset.
Now, what kind of a boss are you? Are you a yeller? I think your sound guy's laughing.
Yeah, I'm a yeller.
You're a yeller.
Yeah.
So
for about 5 seconds. A good five
that,
seconds.
When
of
that
yell.
Kind of a mess up, which is a bad mess up.
That's the worst mess up.
Let's be honest with you. In terms of the guy running the show,
yeah.
That and you know, if I was in your position,
yeah.
That's a bad mess up. So, I mean, because you're right. You want things because you're the main honcho here. You've got to make sure there's a lot going on here. You guys have a good studio, you know.
We try.
But there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of things going on here. So, yeah, when things mess up like that, technology-wise,
yeah,
that's so frustrating.
But it was a mute button. It was just the mic
was muted. Oh, that was it.
That was all it was.
That was it.
Now, what happened was
now,
on the was soundboard.
He, now,
yeah.
Now, the mess up,
mm-hmm.
Was there a reason for the mess up? Like, was he inebriated or was there something wrong?
I don't know what he was thinking.
So you don't care about why or what or who?
The only response I got was, oh, man, I like, oops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was not a good one.
Fired on the spot or no?
Yeah, that was about it.
Yep.
That was about it.
Well, that's a justifiable.
Yeah. That's a
justifiable canning because that's a pretty bad mistake.
So I felt terrible about it. And the
Well, that's not your fault, though.
Sure.
It was his fault.
And you're such a nice guy. You came in here this morning. Mark brought you in and you went, oh, I remember doing this show. And I go, oh, I hope he does it.
I remember doing it, but it never got aired.
Yeah, it was a great show. It was great. Let me tell you something, folks. I should have gotten, what do you get, a Peabody for this or something? It was such a good
do
interview.
Do you get Peabodys for this?
I don't know.
What is a Peabody?
It's the thing the dog makes and travels time, from what I understand.
Peabody. I have a lot of pee in my body right now.
Right on. So I got to ask you, Kevin, well,
yes,
congratulate you.
Yeah.
Did you just get married?
I did.
Congratulations.
Last year.
How'd you meet her?
You know, I met my wife, Michelle, at we did this play years ago in New York, and it was her play. It was called Ha. And it was such a great play. It was a play about stand-up comedy. And we had Big J. Okerson in there. We had Christian Finnegan in there. And a lot of great comics that were involved. I forget his name. But anyway, I forget the guest. But anyway.
We go Burr, Hader, Bellamy. We go Bill Sondheim.
There's a lot of different guys. I can't remember. They're going to hate me. But I mean, we it was her play, and I met her. She was the director and the writer and the creator. Very creative. She's very funny.
Did she ever do stand up?
No, she didn't like stand up. She's more of a writer. She did a lot of writing on sitcoms, and she worked for the doctors for years. She was just a talented and creative person. She did a lot of off Broadway plays and that kind of thing. And we started dating back then, and we got married last year. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that was 2014, and then last year we got married, yeah.
Wow, what a good run.
Yeah.
That's a good run.
Well, we're still having a good run, yeah.
Yeah, well, you got married, so you finally had to get some paperwork going.
Married is being good. Being married is great. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Are you married?
I am, 13 years this year.
That's a long time. That's
it
great.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can I compliment you? You are involved in one of my favorite things, probably the best thing on Netflix, F is for Family. I had no idea that was you until I saw the credits.
I do a few different voices on there. I do Babe, which is like, I want a Jell-O loaf. He's the guy that's, next door neighbor. He's kind of got a crush on the blonde hair guy next door. And so he's always got, every time I came into the studio, I mean, Bill Burr is so funny. I mean, there was always something crazy that they did with my character, and he had like a real problem with his wife. He's like, honey, I'm just trying to, he was a great guy to play. I loved Babe, and they always had him doing crazy things. I love that show. And then I did one of the baggage handler guys. He was kind of a stoner dude, he's just like, hey, man, he was the red haired, baggage handler guy.
Okay, the guy who was going to go write porn.
Yeah.
He was going to go and
one of the I swear on this show?
Yeah.
No, one of the lines I had, which is one of the funniest lines I've ever said in any kind of show I've ever been in. He goes, "I'm going to make a porno and call it Fuck School." And then I describe it and I go, "It's where you go to school and you fuck." So that was one of my lines. Yeah.
I award you a Peabody.
Yeah.
Because
I think that's
how that works.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was one of the shows. I mean, that was such a fun line to say in any show. And then I did another one called Gene. Gene worked in the office. I did another voice called Gene, and he was kind of a misogynistic guy he worked in the office where Bill's wife worked.
Yeah, he was the one who was always like...
He was like, I'd buy that for... he's like, hey, that's what I want to know. He was always saying really inappropriate things to her in the office.
Like in 2020, 2021, where you're recording these, how refreshing is it to be able to do lines like that?
Unbelievably funny. I mean, because... Now it's like such a tough thing to do. Like that character Gene was absolutely awful, like an awful, awful man. But we said it in the 70s, And women, they weren't working in the 60s and 70s. They were just coming into the workforce, And so they had all these like Mad Men. If you ever watch Mad Men, there's misogynistic men all over the place.
Yeah.
But this guy was so over the top misogynistic and awful, and it's just like you get to play that. I get to say those things, terrible things to say, but I certainly
funny.
Wouldn't work in today's world. But
that's the brilliance of that show, I think, is it's really like examining the period that he grew up in,
exactly,
and
right,
through a lens of
one of my lines for Gene was, that made me laugh, you big pussy bitch. I mean, that was one of my lines.
So when they gave you the script.
I said to the guy, I said, can we say, come on now. I mean, can we say this? He's like, yeah, just say it. I'm like, okay.
All Aren't right. you glad? Is it like, hello, my name is Kevin Farley. You made me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I feel comfortable saying that on this show.
Yeah, wow.
But this is the internet, so nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
But I honestly, like, that show was so over the top. Like, we took so many chances on that show.
They finished the last season, right? Is there going to be no return?
No, unfortunately.
Okay.
Unfortunately. I think Netflix sort of has a deal with us, like five years, and then you're out. Maybe.
On to the next thing.
Yeah, kind of.
That makes sense.
But that's a good run for Netflix. You know, they were very nice to us.
Now, I got to ask you a question that I have no idea if this is true or not. I don't know. I know you were good friends with Norm. I know you used to tour with Norm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know Norm was sick.
Yeah.
And obviously, RIP, greatest joke teller to ever walk the planet, in mine and a lot of people's opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that not a lot of people knew he was sick.
No, nobody.
Nobody at all knew. He kept it a secret.
Maybe Lori Jo and some of his family, yeah. I think Lori Jo probably knew. You know, Lori Jo is. Lori Jo. If you know Norm, Lori Jo is his right hand.
Yeah.
I would imagine she probably knew, but that's it. Yeah.
Nobody had any clue. I just honestly think
that, you know, with Normie, I mean, I was traveling with him during that time, and I know that he probably didn't want, like, people to, when you meet Norm, he wanted to be met on his comedy. You know, people like, oh, that's Norm MacDonald, and he's funny, and he did this and this and this and this. And he didn't want to say, like, oh, so he didn't want to lead with the fact that he was that sick. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So when I think keeping it secret like that probably kept people away, you know, and just dealing with him with his comedy and with also who he was, you know.
Yeah.
And didn't want that to get in the way, which it would have probably.
You know, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong there. It just seems like such a burden to have to carry by yourself. Like, you know.
I think it did have a lot of, I think he did, he struggled, yeah. I think it was, I think if you look back at it now, he was talking a lot about death and talking a lot about, you know, life. And he had a lot of deeper discussions, you know. His comedy got real deeper and his comedy got, like, really existential, I guess.
I can't wait to see the special that's about to come out. You heard about this, right?
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. I miss him. He was such a great guy and such a great... To me, Norm MacDonald is... Like, when I started to do stand-up, I was primarily an actor, and primarily I came to Hollywood doing sitcoms, and coming from the Second City world, I really enjoyed like what my brother did. He was never a stand-up. Chris was never a stand-up.
Right.
So he wanted to do improv, which to me, it was such a great... I loved improv for a long time, you know. And I love Second City and I love Improv Olympic and all those kind of places. To me, that's where you really honed your skills. I still use those skills on the stage at stand-up.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I want to learn stand-up. I want to learn the craft. You know, who do I know that is the best? And I was friends with the best, in my opinion, the best comedian, stand-up comedian of all time. You know, to me, I think he is.
It's hard. I wouldn't argue that. I would definitely put him in the conversation.
We could also have an argument about it. There's no doubt we could go Richard Pryor. We could do a lot of different things. But I honestly think if you look at the body of work and his joke structure
and
that kind of thing. And by the way, he bombed a lot, too, and I've seen him bomb a lot. But he was one of those guys that could work his way through a bit and let it bomb for five or six shows. And then go, are you going to give up on that bit? And, no, I'm not going to give up on that. And he wouldn't give up on a bit until you'd see him do it the 30th time or the 40th time. And then you go, wow, he figured that one out.
Yeah.
You know, when it was tanking. But he was willing to tank it. You know, that's what I wanted to learn from Norm. And I went out on the road and I learned from them. That's what I learned. Just to not necessarily give up on a bit right away because you're like, oh, that's a terrible bit. That's not going to work. You know, but rather than that, tweak it, figure it out. Maybe it will work later. Maybe, I mean, you're maybe you're not telling it right, you know.
I'm never telling my jokes right. one of these days I'll get one right. I just feel like Norm is such a great example of quick jokes.
Yeah.
And then just, wow, I can't believe I just went full circle and thought of that. Like, he had such like a cool style that is never going to really be able to be duplicated. So, I mean, I really do envy you that you got to know the man and sit there and watch that process, because that's got to be quite a lesson. There's
I went to school with like Albert Einstein of standard stand-up comedy.
You really did.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to learn. I mean, obviously he was a psychopath. No, I'm just kidding.
used to hurt all those animals. We went, we have so many
great stories. We went across Canada together, and I remember we're Saskatchewan, you know. We went from like I didn't realize how there's nothing in Saskatchewan, you know. There's like, it's just fields. So we filled up, and I'm like, we had like a half a tank, and he knows Canada.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I go, Norm, this is...
Norm is to Canada what Hasselhoff is to Germany.
Exactly. I go, Norm, like, we only have a half a tank. I'm like, we have got like 6 hours to drive, you know. I'm like, are we going to make it? He's like, yeah, we're going to make it. We get about 3 hours, and we're like, I go, where's their gas station, man? There wasn't. We had to turn around, you know, and go back to a gas station. I remember like, why did you knew there wasn't any gas stations out here? I mean, he's like, I guess I did. I didn't know, you know, but we had one of those. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. And you know, there's those kinds of things where and the Norm didn't drive, you know, and that's where it's like, I'm like, hey, you want to do something? And he's like, yeah, pick me up. I'm like, oh God, I forgot. You don't drive. So you'd always have to go pick him up, you know, and drive him everywhere.
I have a feeling that guy's worth the stop to pick up, just to have around.
Yeah, no, we golfed a lot of times. Norm and I would golf. We would golf for years. Lord Joe, me, and my brother, and Norm, and we would golf around L.A., you know, all different courses around L.A., and just golfing with him. He wouldn't let you go. Like, if he had this much of a putt, he'd be like, nah, putt it out. Like, you're going to give me that? He goes, no, putt it out.
That's
hysterical.
I'd
miss it. And he'd be like, see? And then he was just a one of a kind. You know, they don't make Norm MacDonald anymore. I just can't believe he's gone. It's one of those things. It's just terrible.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing those thoughts with us, because that's a Norm not everybody gets to know. The one you ride in the car with, the one you play golf with.
Yeah.
It's
played
interesting.
Golf with him and toured with him. And there was one time in Canada where he, I did my set and I did pretty good, you know. I was feeling kind of good about myself, you know. And then Norm gets out there and he goes, you want to see Farley again, you know? And so he goes, come on out here, you know, and I come out and I'm like, thank you. I'm taking a bow. And I'm like, and he goes, and somebody yells, why don't you guys wrestle? Somebody yells that in the crowd. And Norm's like, you want to see us wrestle? And the guy's like, yeah, wrestle. And soon there's like a chant going, wrestle, wrestle. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to wrestle. I'd rather not wrestle Norm.
You're
so
right.
Norm just hauls off and smacks me in the neck.
Okay.
And I'm not, I don't have a real even temper. You know, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And I picked him up. I'm like, you motherfucker. And I'm like, you want to see us wrestle? And I picked him up and body slammed him on stage.
He gave him the old scoop slam.
And I said, don't mess with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I ran away. I ran off stage. And he comes back and says, what are you doing? Because it hurt him. I know it hurt him. And I'm like, you hit me first. I'm like, I'm not going to wrestle you on stage. This is going to turn into a WWE wrestle-a-thon. I know, but I think you can find it online. I don't know, but I think I saw it. Like,
I need to find that.
Yeah, it's like somebody recorded it.
You know what mistake you made, right?
What?
You didn't go for the pin. You got
to
go for
I wanted to get away because I knew he was mad. I knew he was mad because I body slammed him.
Right.
And I knew that was going too far but he hit me hard in the back of the head and it really made me mad. And I just body slammed him.
followed up with an elbow or anything.
No. I knew he was mad. I knew he was going to get up, and it was going to get worse. You know what I mean? Like it started to get for real.
So how does that blow? How does that blow off? Like how does that just end? How mad was he for you for how long?
Well, we went to bed, and we got up in the morning, and I said, "You're an ass," and he said, "I'm an ass." You know, it's like brothers. You know, yeah. you're just like, all right, that got a little out of hand. You know, but I don't think he was mad. I don't think I wasn't. So,
well, it's a funny story. I need to find that footage.
If
anybody's out there Googling right now, send that to me. I want to see it.
If it's out there, somebody might have had a camera in the audience. It was a while ago.
So, you know, you mentioned how you were doing improv and you were doing acting and things like that. You started doing stand up how long ago? Like in the last 10 years?
Well, maybe 2011, maybe 10, 11, something like that. I started to just piece together an act. You know, up at the Comedy Store, piece together an act. I'd go up there. You know, I lived in L.A., and I just do open mics and that kind of thing, you know, right around 2011, something like that. And then I learned for years just opening up for Norm and Spade and that kind of thing.
That's so wild, though. Like, what a great opportunity to go to the store, just, you know, to have the opportunity to go in there and work out stuff and put together your act. That's pretty awesome, Kevin.
It's a great place to learn, you know, the store, because it's the Comedy Store in L.A. It's just great. You just go in there and work out whatever you can. You know, it's a great place to learn. It's a great place to do an open mic because, you know, there's always all these great comics there. And you can learn so much there. Learn how to form your act and that kind of thing. It's a great place to go.
Well, in your perspective, from stepping on the stage the first time to what you do now, how big of a perspective change have you had from what you thought it was to what it actually is 10 years in? What'd you learn?
Well, it's certainly not glamorous. I mean, the stand-up world is great. You know, don't get me wrong. I love it. I love the shows and stuff. But the glamour side of things, yeah, no. Whatever I thought was going to be, you know, showbiz glamour is you know, it's more like, you're on the road, you're traveling, you're on an airplane, you're on airports and in hotels. And the show times are great because I really live for those. Those are the great things, you know.
Yeah.
And you'd really have some fun during the shows and that thing. But a lot of it's traveling and a lot of it's, you know, just doing your craft as much as you can, you know, and whoever let you do it. You know, and that's why COVID was really terrible. It's like everybody... I learned during COVID that I'm not essential. You know, comedians are non-essential.
Not even a little bit. Did you know that in the state of New York, you want to talk about feeling non-essential. In New York State, there were rules that the governor put out. He was very strict, Cuomo, about what performances would be allowed when they did allow restaurants and bars to open up.
Yeah.
And they specifically said you could have a band, but the band had to be X amount of feet away from the stage. Yeah. Everything, you know, had to be measured out. But the two types of acts you could not have was stand-up comedy or exotic dancing.
Wow. And that's just bizarre.
It was a fun pickle. It was like a fun picket line. It was
really a fun pickle. It's so weird. You know, the only thing I could think of is I don't know, but exotic dancing? That's weird. Yeah. Like strippers and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's weird. I mean, some of these rules were
so crazy.
If
you call that exotic...
Gentlemen's club. I always loved that term. Gentleman. I've never seen a gentleman in one of those clubs.
That dude's in sweatpants.
He's not a gentleman.
He's ashing a cigar at a Coors Light bottle.
I'm going down to the gentleman's club. We're going to talk a little bit about politics.
I got my copy of the Wall Street Journal with me. We're going to go. Me and the boys are going to go have a chat.
Going down to the gentleman's club.
I don't know, man. It really was.
Well, that was weird, you know, but I learned I'm not essential. But, you know, so they shut us down. And, you know, but I mean, now we're back and we're starting to get in front of people again, you know. And that is the live version of it, which I love, you know, but that's really what it is. You really live for those times where you're in front of the folks and you're doing your craft in front of people. And it's great. I really enjoy that, you know, but what I learned is it's a grind, you know, you're on the road a lot and the travel is tough, you know, that's why I love this. It's like, this is amazing. You just do your thing right here and you don't have to go on the road, you know, which is cool.
Well, the road has definitely done in people. The road is like one of those things that makes people quit the business. It's just one of those things that people just can't wrap their head around. But I feel like the way to get over it is just love what you're doing so much that it doesn't matter how far away the next stage is.
Yeah, you have to really live for the times when you're up on stage, you know, because the rest of it is just garbage.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Farley's going to be here for four more shows this weekend, two tonight, two tomorrow. Tickets are available at carlsoncomedy.com. Kevin, what are you working on now? Anything big coming up?
Well, I still I do the podcast, Kevin Farley on the Road, and we're probably going to do more. I do another podcast called Offsides, which is like it's like sports, you know, football, pretty much.
I am subscribing immediately.
Offsides. Yeah, it's me and my stepson, Leo. He's a genius, and Ed Gantz, who is an ex-NFL guy. And so we do that.
Interesting.
We talk a little bit about NFL.
You got to be a Packers guy, right? You're a Wisconsin night.
Yeah, big time. Packer fan, big time Packer fan, yeah.
All right.
And I love Packers. And so we talk a little bit about that, and I'm on the road a lot, and I have two movies coming out. One is called The Baby Pact. Baby Pact 2. There was a Baby Pact 1, and now it's Baby Pact 2. And I play a judge who has a little puppet, and he talks to the people with his puppet. It's very strange. Very strange character. But it's a fun movie.
Okay.
And it's got the Hillary Duff and Haley Duff, or Hillary Duff.
The Duff sisters.
Yeah, the Duffs. Yeah, one of the Duffs.
Baby Pack.
Okay. Yeah, the Baby Pack. And then I do another one called One Up, which will be out on Amazon, I think, maybe in the summer or the fall. It's called One Up, and it's about a girl's video game. They're video gamers.
Okay.
And they so women's video gaming.
One
and
Up?
Yeah, it's called One Up, yeah. And I play a professor or a dean of students in that one, which is really fun. That's a very fun movie, and that'll be out in Amazon, later on this year.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Farley, four more shows. Get your tickets now, carlsoncomedy.com. And until we meet again, Kevin, thank you for your time.
I hope the sound was working. Does the sound work?
This guy, way less incompetent.
Yeah, good.
this one right here.
Good, good.
This one, his, you know, I should tell you this. His nickname is Shoeless.
Shoeless? Why?
Because he just, you know, one day we were chatting. Shoes? We were just chatting, and he was all bummed out about something. And there was another guy who worked on the show who was complaining about what he was going to get for Christmas. And I looked at Joe, and I go, Joe, what do you want for Christmas this year, bud? He goes, just want a pair of shoes.
Oh, Joe.
Little Shoeless Joe.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Shoeless Joe. There he is.
Shoeless Joe. We'll get some. You know, if you're out there, get Joe a pair of shoes.
We send your shoes.
Send your shoes
for
to
Joe. Care of Comedy at the Carlson.
All of his shoes have holes in them.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, and I literally call him that everywhere he goes. The guy goes to open mics and says, "Hey, Shoeless Joe," and he's
Shoeless
just like,
Joe.
"I have shoes, Vinny. Would you stop it?
I could buy shoes, Vinny.
I drove here in a car I owed. Okay."
Joe, what kind of shoes do you have on?
Skate shoes.
Skate shoes.
It's a duct tape and strips of leather. That's what he's wearing. That's the end of this week's show. We'll be back next week. Until that, act right, Rochester. You could close it out, Joe. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.